Jagacharya Ashto Tarashata Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupat Paramahansa Paribrajagacharya Ashto Tarashata Srimad His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Garantara Shimam Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, entitled Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations, Chapter 14, The System of Universal Management, Text 9 through 11. Unfortunately, we don't have today the board, so as far as you can, get your little devices on. Jai Baladesh, you have your book? Sadly. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, here. You guys can share this one. Okay, I read text number 9, text number 10 we'll chant together, and text 11 I'm going to read by myself. Sargam prajesha rupena dashyun hanyat swarat bapu kala rupena sarveshan abhabhajya pritak guna. Translation, in the form of Prajapati Marichi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates progeny. Becoming the king, he kills the thieves and rogues. And in the form of time, he annihilates everything. All the different qualities of material existence should be understood to be qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This we chant responsible. Stujamano janair ebhir Mayaya namarupaya Vimohita mabhir nama Darshanair na chadrishyate Stujamano janair ebhir Mayaya namarupaya Vimohita mabhirnana Darshanair na chadrishyate Stujamano janair ebhir Mayaya namarupaya Vimohita mabhirnana Darshanair na chadrishyate. Please, Chan. Thank you. Stujamanaha, being sought, Janai, by people in general, Ebhi, by all of them, Mayaya, under the influence of Maya, Namarupaya, possessing different names and forms, Vimohita, bewildered, Atmabihi, by illusion, Nana, various, Darshanahi, by philosophical approaches, Na, not, Cha, An, Drisyate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be found. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. People in general are bewildered by the illusory energy, and therefore they try to find the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through different types of research and philosophical speculation. Nonetheless, they are unable to see the Supreme Lord. Purport. Whatever actions and reactions take place for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world are actually brought about by the one Supreme Person. There are many varieties of philosophers trying to search for the ultimate cause under different names and forms, but they are unable to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who explains in Bhagavad Gita that He is the origin of everything and the cause of all causes, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. This inability is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Devotees therefore accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is and remain happy simply by chanting the glories of the Lord. Text number 11. Eta kalpa vikalpasya pramanam parikirtinam kirtitam yatraman bantaranyahus chaturdasa puravida. Translation. In one kalpa, or one day of Brahma, there take place the many changes called vikalpas. O king, all this has been previously described to you by me. Learned scholars who know the past, present, and future have ascertained that in one day of Brahma there are 14 manus. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 8th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The System of Universal Management. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Srimataye Rupa Swamite Namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Vanchakalpataruvyasha Kripasinduvyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So people are trying to understand the creation. Naturally, that is there. It's a natural inclination of the human being to try to understand the environment in which they're living, the place. Why is that? Because the propensity or the initial condition that brings us to this material world is a desire to control or enjoy independently. To be a controller, basically, a controller and an enjoyer. In other words, we want to experience the position of God. That is, in a simplistic way, saying, you know, what brings us to this material world. Somehow or other, we want to see what it's like to be Krishna, the center, the controller, the enjoyer. And thus, we come to this material world to try with that type of mentality. So, the natural arrangement, actually not just human beings, any living entity have that type of propensity. Territorial, you know. So you have the dog, you know, trying to mark his territory by, you know, passing water every other, you know, corner, like that. So they mark their territory. So everybody's territorial, so the more you understand your environment, then you have the capacity to claim control. The idea of going to other planets for the materialistic, you know, people is that, you know, we extend our control even beyond this planet. So the idea of the rush, the whole race that was to reach the moon between the Russians and the Americans was who gets it first, and the first thing that they do when they reach the so-called proper questions that, but when they reach there, the first thing that they do is they put the American flag, boom, claim the moon is belongs to the USA. It goes as silly as that. Of course, you know, what are the riches that they bring from the moon? A whole, you know, jar of dust and a few stones. So there is this idea that we want to understand, but the reason we want to understand is we want to control. We want to claim our own. And so that's the materialistic people. They want, you know, and they're doing this to, by their own material efforts and research and the whole science is basically geared towards that ascending process. That's the materialistic people. Now you have others that are more in a more higher level, that they try to understand great thinkers, scientists too. They trying to understand how this whole environment works, how the whole universe works, where does it come from, the origins of things. And they try to do, to understand that simply by widely speculating. Then they come with all kinds of theories and that are quite imaginative. And you know, the whole idea of picturing the whole creation of the universe, the Big Bang, and then how from the Big Bang things are starting to shape, how universe comes out, and they come with this idea that what happened is that, you know, cyclically things, you know, suck down into one unity point and then expands like that into, you know, the universe. So, which is okay. Yeah. But you can only say, you know, all right, I mean, doesn't even sound logic, but that's what you said. And what to speak of how life form. So we know all that. Speculation, just speculating how the worlds come about. And then we have transcendentalists that try to understand also the, you know, now the transcendentalists understand that beyond this material world, there's something greater. There's a spiritual reality. And then you try to understand that by your efforts of studying and analyzing all the different elements of the material creation to try to search, you know, to that origin that is beyond this material creation. So you try to understand the absolute truth by your personal efforts. And there's just two kinds of transcendentalists that do it in different ways. There is the impersonalist of the Brahma body, that they do that by studying the scriptures, by cultivating knowledge, by jnana. So, and then you have the yogi that does that by the process of controlling by mechanical process of controlling the body and then being able to realize the super soul within the body. Both of them, they try to do this by research, by personal endeavors, and by cultivation of knowledge. So all these methodologies, from the gross materialist up to the transcendentalist, the yogi, they try to reach or understand the absolute truth by an ascending method. Basically, you know, climbing up to, you know, to understand, to come to that end of knowledge. And it is understood that is basically they're not able to see, they're not able to understand. Even those who are jnanis, transcendentalists, they cannot get the full understanding of the absolute truth. They can reach up to a certain point, but it's a partial understanding of the absolute truth, which basically they can understand all the way till the Brahman realization. And the yogi, similarly, also, you know, the self-realized, the realized yogi, the yogi that reaches, you know, samadhi, they can understand all the way to the Paramatma feature. But to be able to understand the full absolute truth, there is only one methodology, and that's the descending process. And that's depending on the mercy of the Lord. So as long as we are as long as we try to understand or do anything independently from the mercy of the Lord, there's no possibility of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no chance. So only when you come to the position of accepting Krishna, then you understand. Then you're considered, the jnani will be considered a jnanabham, will be considered a jnani that had come to the end of all knowledge. And what is the end of all knowledge? Vasudeva Sarvangiti. Krishna is God. Krishna is everything. So let me surrender to him. So, and then understanding is there. Then the understanding, the experience, to have that full understanding of the absolute truth will be there. Otherwise, you can't. Atasi Krishna Namani. Like, you cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, neither his name, his form, his pastimes, nothing like that, just by your blunt senses. By your capacity. Krishna is called what is the term that is beyond adokshaya. Then the name for Krishna, adokshaya, means that is beyond sense perception, beyond your beyond our experience of this world. So it doesn't matter what type of methodology we use, no methodology will allow you to understand Krishna. Only one methodology. And you know, that's what Krishna says, Bhaktyaman Abhijanati. Only through bhakti I can be understood as I am. And that's what Prabhupada said, that he mentioned in the purport, that as far as the devotees, they accept the Supreme Personality of God that he is. And then for the devotee, is we don't need to do much research. We don't need to understand anything that, you know, how you know, what exactly things are and how. We receive it in a descended manner, and that's a whole process and system that Krishna provides for all of us. That first of all, he provides the whole understanding, the whole Shabda Brahma means, you know, the whole Vedic knowledge, everything that is there in the creation, and everything that explains his position is there. He provides that, and he have a methodology by which that knowledge descends to all, and that's parampara. So first he delivered the knowledge to Lord Brahma. What is it? Ete Brahma Adikavaje. Ete Hrida. I can't remember. Tene Brahma Hrida Adikavaje. Tene Brahma Hrida Adikavaje. That I deliver this knowledge first to Lord Brahma within his heart. The whole knowledge, the whole Vedic knowledge. And then in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells how he descends. Evam parampara praptam imar rajasado vidhu. That through the cyclic succession, this knowledge descends. So we're connected, directed to the line which Lord Brahma is the first, the first disciple, the first recipient from Lord Krishna. So we're the Brahma Madhava Gaurya Sampradaya. So the knowledge received like that way, then we don't have to do no research. Even a little child have, you know, understood and can be saying such a profound truth as Krishna is God. When we have, you know, powerful minds, material speaking, scholars and scientists, big people, I mean, like big brains, they have a lot of information with storage in the head, you know. and they have no clue. Sometimes they babble in things that, you know, that once that after being under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada has exposed all these things, you can understand, well, this is all rubbish. I mean, and people are buying it. And you have the face to actually, you know, sort of like propound all this rubbish with no shame and actually proud of it. You know, explaining all this, you know, actually propounding as absolute truth things that they themselves establish as a theory, unproven by scientific methodology that they have given what are the parameters of scientific discovery. So there is no full evidence of things, and they are still able to buy world jugglery by cheating, being able to establish this thing as the status quo, the normal, you know, the truth. I mean, one can think, how is it possible that we learn in schools that life comes from matter? Why do we have to learn a theory that is unproven? Why do we have to learn about the evolution that is unproven? It doesn't have the full, you know, what we have, the missing link. So, you know, Prabhupada says, like, sure, here's $1,000,000. I write a check, but I didn't sign. It's like, you know, or the date is, you know, here's $1,000,000, but the day is, you know, whatever, 2050. You know, what is the use? So so that's the situation right now, that you have people claiming all the things, Mayavadis, they claiming that, yeah, everything is one, and I'm God, you're God. And they give the reasons, and the reason is wildly speculative, that, you know, when we hear them also, it's also like, how could you? I mean, what faith can you take to you say these things? So, you know, you're God, but you're, you know, sort of not very good looking. And, you know, when you go to the bathroom, it smells. And, you know, and you get sick, you get old. So what kind of God are you? And, you know, maybe you do a little better than me, but, you know, I'm, you know, show me, if I'm God, maybe I can get my situation better. I can get, you know, at least, you know, have some comfortable life. Maybe, you know, I'll be a humble God. You know, I won't, you know, get a golden tower in Manhattan, but, you know, maybe I just get, you know, a nice place, you know, like I don't have to pay, you know, I'm not having debt and things like that. If I'm, you know, I'd be a humble God, but geez, you know, like a Daridra Narayan type of God, you know, and then they say that, you know, Gandhi's described that, yeah, the homeless person, you know, he is God too. Daridra Narayan, God that has become a homeless. Yes, right. Why in the world God wants to become a homeless person, you know, suffering like anything, trying to struggle to find, you know, something to eat in a pile of garbage? God is the husband of the goddess of fortune. Why in the world would you do that? Well, it's for pastimes. Okay. Hare Krishna. So that's the situation. Any person who is trying to, who wants to be independent from Krishna's system, have no clue. We are very fortunate to be receiving, to be given the opportunity to, by the mercy of Krishna and Krishna's devotees, to be taken into this disciplic succession. And then we receive, you know, such a simple, clear, perfect knowledge. And then any of us, with no, whatever level of intellectual level, capacity, nature, whatever circumstances there in our life, whatever age we have, we're exposed to the simple, absolute truth. Krishna is God, and we are His servants. Bas. That's it. That's the reality. And then when you have a child, even, you know, Nityananda Prana was quoting the other day in the class, Shamasundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji's daughter saying to people, Krishna is God, and Prabhupada saying, yes. You know, she is, you know, a powerful preacher. Just that simple truth. When you work with children, teaching them, especially, you know, devoted children, little guys, you know, you have 5 years old, 6 years old, and you give them the opportunity to sort of You create the environment in which they can actually express themselves. They can say things, they can discuss things, they can try to articulate how they're processing and what is their understanding of things. Then it's amazing how you'll be so surprised how philosophical these guys can be. And the type of things that they're able to say, things. Jainitai Prabhu is experiencing a little bit, you know, the environment that Krishna Archana creates in the in class, in terms with guys of all sizes. And they can discuss philosophically the things, and they come to the right conclusions. Some of them have it very clearly because they come, they're devoted, you know, they took birth in devotee families. And they are connected, you know, to this truth, this, you know, descending methodology. And they, you know, they say they're very clear. And they, when there is one of the kids that are not, you know, that their circumstances are not fully connected, they correct. A kid may sell, you know, one of those wishy-washy things, and many of them, they come together and say, no, Krishna is God, you are a living entity, you're the servant. They have it clear, no research. So that is the amazing fortune that we have received. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. Bhagyavan Jiva. We're very fortunate living entities, because somehow or other, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, we are being connected. We receive the seed that connects us to this descending mercy, and we have a chance to perfect our life through the only methodology that is there to go back home, back to Godhead, which is Krishna's system, Krishna's mercy. Simply have to take it. And this is the conclusion of this understanding that Srila Sukadev Goswami is explaining here. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. This verse mentions that the philosophers are unable to see the Supreme Lord. And we hear a lot of times people say, can you show me God? Just like that. Well, one appreciation, I will mention one lecture of Prabhupada. He mentioned this point. I forgot what the lecture was called, but I wrote it down. In this lecture, Prabhupada says, when you go to the mechanic, you are seeing, and the mechanic is seeing. But his seeing is different from your seeing. He's qualified to see. Therefore, he could touch the button or whatever and fix the car, but you cannot. And so I kind of appreciate that point, because not only that, but we can look at every aspect of our life is dependent on mercy, kripa, or prasade. And I'll just go back to childhood. That a lot of times we don't, even though a baby may be seeing everything, but just because he's seeing things, that does not mean he's a seer, because unless he gets the mercy from his parents or teacher to actually teach him a language to identify things, then he's actually really not seeing anything. So that's one point I kind of like to keep in mind. And my question is kind of geared towards this point of mercy. Not only, you were mentioning Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Guru Krishna Prasadi Poi Bhati Lata Beach, we're depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And I think this may be kind of, I feel like an obstacle in our life when we think of Krishna and Guru, and we're only dependent on their mercy. And the reason I bring this up is because I'll use the pastime of Lord Chaitanya and Jagat Madai. This is in Chaitanya, I mentioned it many times, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya, chapter 13. In that session, it mentions that after Lord Chaitanya purified Jagat Madai, he was mentioning to all the Vaishnavas that treat Jagat and Madai like any other sinless Vaishnava, even though they committed, you know, every sin you could think of. And so the reason I appreciated that is because Lord Chaitanya was, in essence, was saying, actually, your Krishna consciousness is not just dependent on me, God. Your Krishna consciousness is dependent on how you treat someone you may think is not worthy of respect, like Jagat and Madai. Because, and I appreciate that poem, because usually in Krishna consciousness, when we think of mercy, I'm only dependent on Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. But it kind of alludes us that, you know, we're actually dependent on the mercy of everyone. And you mentioned a point that, you know, we come to this world, we want to be God. And when you put yourself in a position that I'm dependent on the mercy of somebody who may have been a rapist like Jagat Madai, like, it doesn't follow. And the reason I like these pastimes is because although we're not prostitutes, it says a prostitute in Haridasa core pastime was exalted Vaishnava too. Although we're not a prostitute, although we haven't performed Jagat Madai activities, still we, you know, still think we're not dependent on the mercy of others, only Guru and Krishna, you know, never mind others. So can you expand on those points a little bit, that our Krishna consciousness is not just dependent on Guru and Krishna? There's so many pastimes like that, Vaishnava Parada, obviously, so that keeps us humble. So,
well, from one perspective, it is only depending on Guru and Krishna. From another perspective that you said, is that what Guru and Krishna is teaching us is that we have to cultivate the qualities, again, we always come down to that Trinada Pisunichina principle. It's basically the crown jewels of being a Vaishnava. If you're able to manage those four qualities, then you can chant the holy name constantly. So we're constantly being, you know, challenged and pushed to do those, to cult, because those four qualities counteract all the stuff that, you know, takes us, you know, that becomes obstacles in our Krishna conscious progress. And you have four qualities: humility, tolerance, respect, and checking our false ego, not wanting, you know, not having the motivation of being of being recognized, you know, and being offered respect. So so when we deal with anyone, when we deal with the world, when we deal with other people, when we deal with devotees, the same principle applies. Your humility, tolerance, respect, and being detached. So, you know, therefore, that, how we're able to do that, well, is the mercy of the spiritual master. He's the one who's training us in doing that. And this, all the teachers, all the devotees, you know, I mean, Srila Rupa Goswami is teaching us, you know, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us. We recite every morning, you know, that Srila Sanatana Goswami say, wear it like a neck beak. Srila Rupa Goswami, you know, says, goes to great extent to explain to us, you know, in the nectar of instruction, how to do it practically. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes in great depth in the Madhurya Kandambini, how it works, you know. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a whole series of songs that tells, you know, with so much, you know, that it really taught you that how he depicts, you know, an arch of how a devotee, you know, how a conditioned souls become completely given and surrender to Krishna, cultivating these qualities. Each quality he takes, you know, and makes a son out of it. You know, Srila Prabhupada just was, you know, he showed us here in the West. He made it accessible to us. And now Prabhupada's followers are showing us. So we're receiving all this, you know, this descending mercy that allows to be able to function like a devotee and be able to have a chance to cultivate these qualities and give us the association of devotees that remind us, you know, Prabhu, you know, remember, you know, that we have to be humble, we have to tolerate, we have to respect others. So the point that you're making is, you know, that we have to have that consciousness towards other people, you know, regardless if this is a devotee or not. You have to respect. We have to respect people. We can sort of like do whatever. Who was saying the example that I think during the retreat this past weekend, that that the devotee was, you know, I think Nityananda Prana mentioned it, I think, that, you know, someone was running, Yamuna Jivana was mentioned it. Yeah, so Satsuru Maharaj was that one trying to catch with Prabhupada. Prabhupada works very fast, you know, and then there was some sort of a crowd, and then the devotees trying to catch, you know, somehow their shovel and push, you know, some other lady, and then with, you know, to be able to keep pace with Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was, yeah. So the lady who was not a devotee, not part of the group, you know, but a you know, like a nice lady. She says, this is the way you've been taught to act. So that was, you know, a very powerful instruction that Sasru Maharaj, you know, recorded. Like, people are watching us. You know, people are watching how we act, and we're representing Srila Prabhupada. Because, you know, the question was, this is how your teacher is teaching you to act. This is how you've been taught. That you're so disrespectful and thoughtless. So, you know, our progress depends on how deep we go into this understanding that we're representing Srila Prabhupada. I'm representing my Guru Maharaj. So therefore we have to act in such a way that if my Guru Maharaj is here present, he will approve. So we're constantly challenged with that. We're constantly challenged with that in, you know, as we progress. So we're depending on that. So I would say, from my perspective, and, you know, I understand where you're coming from when you're saying, you know, you can expand the perspective. From my perspective, I'm fully depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And by their mercy, we learn how to deal with others, you know, in a Vaishnava-like manner, respectfully. And then, because you're respectful, we can actually take, you know, lessons, just like Bhima Mangala Thakur and et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can take lessons you can see my Guru Maharaj present everywhere. Because, you know, my consciousness is, as I'm dealing with the world, I'm representing my Guru Maharaj, the teachings of my Guru Maharaj. And then, you know, when people deal with me, you know, I have to be an example of my Guru Maharaj's teachings. And when they appreciate me, I understand that they're really appreciating the miracle that my Guru Maharaj is performing by transforming me into, you know, his, you know, some decent person like that. So that's, I was here. Any other comment? Back to Jordan Pru.
I'm wondering if you can explain the difference between like trying to merge with Krishna or trying to become Krishna.
Yeah, there's a Brahma body and there's a Maya body. Brahma bodies are they're connected in one sense, you know, and is bona fide. They have a spiritual master. Like, for example, the classical Brahma bodies that are given in the scriptures, the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras were the son of Lord Brahma, who was a disciple, direct disciple of Lord Krishna. And they received knowledge from Lord Brahma, the whole knowledge. But they were attracted to the impersonal feature of the Lord. And that's what they were pursuing. That's what their attraction. So, you know, the spiritual master, is not that Lord Brahma, you know, gave them the wrong thing. But because of the desire and the propensity, then they get guided in such a way that through the process of reaching that realization, Brahman realization, they can continue. So there's it's progressive. So the result of these realized Brahma bodies is that they were able to take darshan. When they took darshan of Krishna, Lord Vishnu, they immediately became devotees by just smelling the tulsi flowers in the lotus feet of the Lord. So it's progressive, and they're under still, you know, the spiritual master, the Brahma bodies. The Maya bodies are different. The Maya bodies, who wants to become God, there's no connection to a bona fide sampradaya. There's no connection. So they just speculate. They go into this ascending process. They may have teachers that are on the ascending process, but the whole thing that they have is that the teacher, the deities, everything is just a stepping stone. They're ascending. So there's no bhakti, although they use bhakti, but all the things that they use is means for them to ascend to the position of God. They're stepping stones. So in reality, there's no devotion. There's no devotion, there's no devotional service. They may show themselves something that sort of resembles devotional service, but it's non-existent. It's not real. So the Maya bodies are condemned, you know, and it's a demoniac type of position. The Brahma bodies are not. The Brahma bodies are transcendentalists. And, you know, it's progressive. The Paramatma yogis, those, they're also progressive. Because in general, the bona fide, you know, the ones who follow properly on their instructions, for example, Narada Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj was meditating, you know, and through the directions and the sadhana and the whole sacrifice that Narada Muni gave to Dhruva Maharaj, he was able to have darshan of the super soul. And when the super soul came in front of him, then bhakti progresses. So it's all progressive. The other one is regressive, is downwards. So that's how I understand it. Anything else? Jitendra Prabhu.
I remember Srila Prabhupada saying, unfortunately in this world there's no court system to deal with the cheaters. They'll have to wait till they see Yamaraj.
Yes.
And then the four qualities, with humility being the first and foremost, everything else can, you know, fall in line.
Yes.
But humility has to be there.
We were watching this presentation of an old friend of mine, Kendra Prabhu. He have this character, he's like a comedian devotee. He have this character called Yam Niyam Das Brahmachari. And then he sings this song, "You better watch out, you better watch out, you're going to die, you're going to die. Yamaraj is coming to town." You better watch out. You may be doing this nonsense and that nonsense. You think, you know, things are, you know, it's all right. No one is going to catch you, but, you know, you're going to die and Yamaraj is coming to town.
I never heard that one. Hare Krishna.
Jai Nita Prabhu.
Um, Just some thought that you've put in my mind through the lecture. You had mentioned that there's the jnanis, and that's in the purport of it, the speculating. And then there's the Krishna conscious people. Like you said, once you become Krishna conscious, you're automatically, in a sense, a jnani. And I was like thinking about that in the context of what you were speaking. You had mentioned Krishna Arjuna, she's teaching the children there. And you can see that just by coming in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, that they're wrestling with ideas and transcendental concepts that are far beyond other children of that age, these children. And I was thinking about that in that sense. I mean, they have that jnani element and it's connected to Krishna. And then I was thinking, you had that example of Sarasvati Mataji as a young child, and she was saying that, like, Krishna is God. And I was thinking, I was applying doubt to that. It's like, well, one could say she's just a naive kid. She's just thinking, you know, Krishna's God, and she's taking that for granted because maybe her parents told her that. But I thought, in the context of what you're saying, like, such a huge, just that Krishna exists as the Supreme Lord, and that's an element in her consciousness. I mean, that changes everything, that Krishna is existing in her mind. So any moment, any interaction she has, Krishna's a part of that. And, that made me realize that single element, which we may take for granted. And you had mentioned also in terms of, like, in every situation you're in, you're trying to represent your Guru Maharaj and Krishna. And I want to thank you, because I felt that that's very profound. The transcendental nature of simply acknowledging Krishna as a part of the formula here, of a part of our existence, is that in itself makes you so much of a jnani beyond any philosophical endeavor. Like, automatically coming to that point that Krishna is a part of the picture here. Right. And the spiritual master is a part of the picture.
Exactly. Even if you're not conversant with all the body of knowledge, because you're functioning, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you're functioning on the highest level, you know, of all yogis. He who functions in that level, he is the best. Krishna say, that is my opinion, the bhakta. So we're giving this, you know, most elevated, and we're being engaged in that space by a bhakta, devotee, representative of Krishna. So, you know, we may have no clue, we're apprentice. You may not have the clue what the green, yellow, orange, black, white cables are. Why they're black, why they're white, you know, what's the difference between all these little cables? They all look the same. And I know why the white had to be attached to the green, why the black have to be attached to the yellow, why not to the red, why not to, you know, you may ask all these questions. But the fact is that's what the expert electricians tells me. You want light? You want to fix, you know, make everything, you know, working? Well, you attach this one to this one to that one. This. You don't have to understand the whole, you know, electrical arrangement that is in the whole building. You know, you simply understand that, then you function in the position of an expert. So, you know, I'm being sent to fix the light in the building, and then some lame person, you know, say, oh yeah, you know, there's no light there, you know, can you fix it? Sure. Bling, 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 bling. Puff, light. Oh, this guy is such an expert. Where do you learn all these things? You know, thank you so much. You know, you're an expert, electrician. The electrician came and fixed the thing. You have no clue what the whole thing is about. You just follow instructions. So we're functioning in that level, highest level. Krishna's mercy. It's amazing. So even a child, Prabhupada says, even a child can chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy, you know, like that. So it's amazing. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.